He's going to get himself into all kinds of trouble no matter how closely you watch him. So the contract with the child should certainly respect the parent's privacy, but also respect the privacy and sovereignty of the child. This also includes the opportunity for the parents to go away if they want to, so long as they continue to provide for the child what they have agreed to provide for the child. Now, of course, an entire course could be appropriate on just the principles involved in child raising, let alone the techniques, and it certainly isn't my purpose to pose as a child guidance expert. I'm only going to try to call attention to certain general principles that are so often overlooked when children become involved. And the last area in this regard that I want to call attention to is that of education. Here we ought to be able to get some insight, too, that would demolish some of the more authoritarian morality approaches. For example, anyone who thinks that it is natural for a man not to steal, that it is the natural state of a human being not to steal, but to respect property, ought to spend a little bit of time looking at a small child, and the assertion would be refuted overnight. It is the most natural thing in the world for a child who has never learned otherwise to steal. He will take anything good that looks to him, and he isn't the least bit concerned about whose property it is. Watch one that is old enough to get around but doesn't communicate too well yet. You probably won't see any attempt whatsoever on his part to hide his stealing, or to make it look like he didn't steal, or to be concerned, or to be guilty in any way. It is just perfectly natural, as far as he's concerned, to indulge himself with anything he can find. It's going to be later in life that he will acquire the idea that there is something wrong with stealing. And of course, there are a multitude of reasons that might be presented to him as the reason for not stealing when that time comes. To name just a few, number one is, you steal and I'll beat you black and blue. Or number two, they put you in jail for that. Or number three, because God said not to do so. And if you do steal, you'll burn forever in hell. Do you want that? Or four, because I said so, that's all, which is usually the most valid reason, obviously. or number five, if you steal, people will be afraid to be around you for fear that they are going to lose everything they have to you, and or some variation of this. Now, the point right now is not which of these should you choose or how to phrase it or anything. All I'm getting at is that it's obvious that the reason given is going to be all important. Until the child is old enough to understand the reason that you want to give him, you're much better off to simply expect him to steal than to try to substitute some artificial reason, meaning that I'll simply tell him that I'll beat him black and blue until he's old enough to understand that that wasn't the consequence. The consequence is that other people will have nothing to do with him or so forth. So it is better to simply keep out of his reach those things you don't want him to steal and assume that he is going to steal and take things until you are old enough to demonstrate to him a reason for not doing so. All through his life, he will acquire knowledge as to the consequences of his acts. Some of it will be abstractly acquired, meaning that it will involve detailed logic from one person to the next. That will have to be an explanation. In other cases, it will be the experience of immediate consequences that will tell him. So the point is, you don't have to be afraid that if you don't set the pattern within the first 6 months that he'll be a thief his entire life. He may steal until he's 10 years old, because that's the first time you sit down and explain to him a reason that makes sense to him for not stealing. At that point, he'll quit stealing, even if he has been stealing up to that point, simply because you're showing him consequences that are more valid to him than the ones he has seen with his limited knowledge in the past. Now, I think here we are recognizing the nature of the influence as a parent over a child. You do not control a child. I don't care if the child is only 3 years old. You are not controlling him. You cannot make him into some particular thing simply by your actions. He is a human being just like you are, and he controls himself. He may be acting on a much more contracted field of knowledge than you are. He may have only one millionth the idea of alternatives and consequences that you have because of his limited experience. But he is still acting on the same basis you are. He is looking at life around him. He is making decisions, short or long term, based on what he thinks will bring him the consequences he wants. He acts to satisfy his own concept of what will bring him well-being. And so he will do what he thinks will bring him that well-being, no matter what you as a parent decide to do. So child guidance, I would choose to define, realistically, as exercising a temporary and partial control over the number of alternatives available to the child. In attempting to guide him, you are not controlling him.